Good evening and welcome to our broadcast this evening from Refaelim Baptist Church. We thank you for joining with us, and as ever we look to the Lord to speak through his precious word this evening. I want to come in our Bibles tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, we're just going to read verse number 23, please. 1 Samuel chapter 12, and we'll be reading at the verse number 23. We began a little series last week simply called Neology. We just want to talk about prayer. And surely, as we said before, if ever there was a need for prayer, and surely there's a great need for prayer in these days. 1 Samuel chapter 12, and we're reading from verse number 23. Do remember the prayer meeting to follow tonight on Zoom at approximately 8:30, God willing. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this evening for the opportunity to gather around the Word of God. We pray, Lord, you'll help us tonight as we go through the Scriptures. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God will be the teacher tonight. And Lord, that you will open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. So, Lord, encourage us tonight. Bless us as we fellowship with each other. We remember our land again in these days. We pray for our government. We pray you'll grant them wisdom. We pray for our church family again. We ask, Lord, again that you would draw nigh, that you would meet needs, that you would be a blessing to those who especially need thy help and thy presence in a special way. May thy grace prove to be sufficient. And so, Lord, just continue with us now, for it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Last week we looked at that great text of Scripture in Jeremiah. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Tonight we've come to another well-known text of Scripture. Samuel is the speaker here in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. And Samuel says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And this text deals with the sin of prayerlessness. We could have picked many texts tonight. We could have gone to Hosea 7, verse 7. This is what the prophet said. They are all hot as an oven and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. What an indictment. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Equally, we come into the New Testament. We read in James 4 verse 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Yet ye have not. Why, James? Because ye ask not. We could recall Christ's encounter with Peter in Matthew 26, verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, why could you not watch with me 1 hour? And I wonder, and I'm speaking generally tonight, I wonder as the Lord would visit you and visit me, I wonder, will he find us praying or will he find us sleeping? Would we be guilty tonight of this awful, heinous sin, hideous sin of prayerlessness? Do you remember what the disciples said in Luke 11 verse 1? It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Surely there must have been a recognition by those early disciples of the greatest single need that they had was the need for a personal, practical persistence and practice of prayer life. Someone has written this. Need it be added that the petition of the disciples of Jesus Christ strikes at the very heart of the most cardinal crime committed by Christians in the 21st century, the shameful sin of prayerlessness. Now, they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to pray. Sometimes we could add that little bit in. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to pray. They said, Lord, just teach us to pray. It wasn't that they wanted to get certain things right. It wasn't about the posture of prayer. It wasn't about the particular phraseology of prayer. It wasn't about the places they might pray in or the periods that they were allowed to pray. They just simply said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. I want to look at this text of Scripture this evening. As I said many times, prayerlessness is not carelessness. Prayerlessness is a sin. It's a sin because we're commanded to pray. Luke 18 verse 1, And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. It's commanded. Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so the Lord Jesus said, men ought always to pray. Paul says we're to be praying always. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. And you know tonight, and I know tonight, we should be men and women, and indeed young people, who are found in prayer. James says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. Do you know what it is to do good? And the good thing to do is to pray. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I read somewhere during World War II, when German shells were showering upon London, one newspaper carried this headline to his fearful citizens: if you must fall, fall upon your knees. If you must fall, fall upon your knees. You know, I don't hear that cry coming from the media today. I don't hear that cry coming from government during this coronavirus crisis. Fall on your knees and pray. And surely if there ever was a time that we needed to pray, it's a time that we find ourselves in now. I read a story about a young boy who fell outside. He hurt himself. His dad saw it. He ran and he lifted the young lad and he was running towards the doctors. When the mum came out, she said, what's wrong? What's wrong? And the dad said, look, he fell over the fence and I'm carrying to the doctors. And the mum said, oh, I'm going to faint. And the husband said, this isn't the time for fainting. This is the time for praying. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Listen, prayerlessness is a sin because we're commanded to pray. Prayerlessness is a sin because of how it affects our own condition. I read about two brothers who emigrated to the United States, and one went into farming. Indeed, he was farming cabbage. And the other studied metal, and they got all into metallurgy. And a few years later, they met up, and as one the brother was showing them around the farm, the younger brother seemed to be distracted. And the other brother said, you haven't heard a word that I said. He said, you see those yellow specks in this field, those yellow spots? He said, that's gold. For years, you have been content with cabbage, and you could have gold. And I wonder, as Christians, are we content with the cabbage when we could have the gold? Something real, something precious, something powerful from the Lord. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Prayerlessness opens the door to other sins. Look up the chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 12, to verse number 2, and you'll read about Samuel. It was John Bunyan who said, prayer will make a man cease from sin, as sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. And you see, the prayerlessness affects our condition. But look at Samuel, verse 2. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and grey-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. And here's Samuel's testimony. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it. And they said, and here's what the people said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. Here's a man of God who was a prayer warrior. And you can see his life backed up his prayer life. His practical life and his prayer life were in tandem. You see, when we fail to pray, we open up our lives to all sorts of different sins and all sorts of different temptations. Someone has said the average Christian fails to pray any more than 5 minutes per day. That's why they're average. That's why they're average. It's a sin not to pray because it's commanded. It's a sin not to pray. It affects our condition. It's a sin not to pray. Look at the Creator. Look again at verse number 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Notice what Samuel says. It's a sin against the Lord. Now, all sin is against the Lord, but Samuel specifically brings out prayerlessness as a sin against God. What an insult to God it is when we fail to pray. John 14, verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, when God hears, when God answers, God gets the glory. And how often in our prayer meeting we have prayed for things and God has answered, and when we come back the following week, by we're praising and we're thanking the Lord and God gets the glory. And when we don't pray and God doesn't answer, then there's no glory for God. It's a sin. And it's a sin against the Creator. Prayerlessness is a sin because it's commanded. Prayerlessness is a sin when we look at our condition, it affects our spiritual walk. Prayerlessness is a sin when you consider the Creator. Prayerlessness is a sin when you think of some of the characters that have prayed. When you read through the Word of God, any man or woman who ever amounted to anything for the Lord was a man or woman of prayer. Do you remember Moses? Do you remember Moses spent those that season of communion with the Lord in Mount Sinai? When they came down, remember they had built the golden calf, and of course Moses was angry with them, and Moses began to pray, and what a prayer it was. Exodus 32, verse 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and he pauses. And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. It's a little bit like Paul's prayer when he said he had continual heaviness in his heart because of the people. And you can see Moses was a man of prayer. Daniel, of course, was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed three times. Even as an old man in Daniel chapter 10, we read about him 21 days, three full weeks spending time with the Lord and time in prayer. Moses gave himself to prayer. Daniel gave himself to prayer. And we could go through Jacob's life and Ezra's life and Nehemiah's life. And these were men of prayer. But of course, the greatest man who ever walked on this planet was the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, he was a man of prayer. If Christ felt the need to pray, and he did, and if Christ was regular in his prayer, and he was, how much more we? When you look at the life of Christ, Matthew 14, verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Mark 1, verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Luke 11, verse 1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place. And when you read through the life of Christ, you discover that every decision he made, every step in his life, at his baptism, and when things were happening, he always spent time in prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. Even in Gethsemane, the Hebrew writer puts it like this, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears, He prayed passionately. He prayed earnestly. Luke records for us in Luke 22, verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling onto the ground. Do you see the priority that Christ gave to prayer? You know, as far as Christ was concerned, prayer was more important than rest. Mark 1, verse 35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, it was more important than sleep. Luke 6, verse 12, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer before God. It was more important than working miracles when Peter was going to fail. The Lord didn't work a miracle. This is what he said, but I have prayed for thee. When it came to having workers for the mission field, prayer was more important to the Lord than finance or instructions or rules or regulations. He simply said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. You know, it's a sin not to pray. When you think of the characters who have prayed and the men and women of God who really prayed right throughout Scripture, but surely when we think of Christ, surely you and I realize it's a sin not to pray. It's a sin not to pray when we consider the characters. It's a sin not to pray when we consider the causes. You remember David's famous words when he faced Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, verse 29. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" James says we are to pray one for another. Surely we need to pray for each other. There are families who are grieving tonight, and their hearts are breaking, and they need your prayers. There are people concerned about their family. They're concerned about their finances. They're concerned about their future. They're concerned about their health and all of the things that are going on. And they need you to pray. There's a government tonight that needs our prayer. 1 Timothy 2 tells us that we are to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Surely, if ever Boris Johnson needed somebody to pray, he needs it now. To pray for his salvation, to pray that God will grant him wisdom. And the government of the day needs God's people to pray. Listen, there are lost souls out there. God, our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved. And there are souls that are dying and going to hell. And there are souls on their way to hell. And they need you to pray. Is there not a cause tonight? Are there not families that need prayer? Are there not grieving homes that need prayer? Are there not lost souls that need prayer? Are there not backsliders tonight that need prayer? Are there not sick tonight who need prayer? Surely there's a cause. What a sin when we fail to pray. You can see it's a sin tonight when we don't pray for each other, when we don't pray for the needs of each other. The Lord Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given unto you." We don't ask. "Seek and ye shall find." We don't seek, knock, and it shall open unto you. And we don't open. And so often we lack what we need and we wonder why. And we have not, James says, because we ask not. You know, we will do anything we can to get what we think we want or need. James tells us in James 4 verse 1, I read this earlier. "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Will fight for it and will argue for it. Come they not hence, even of your own lusts that warn your own members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight in war, and you have not." We'll do whatever we can to get whatever we want, whatever we think we need. Here's what James says, "You have not because you ask not." See, when you pray, and you pray in the Spirit, you get what God wants you to have. It's not about our greed. It's about our genuine need. The Lord Jesus says, "Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Pray. This is the safe way. This is the sure way. This is the scriptural way. "Ye have not," James says, "because you ask not." Isn't prayerlessness an awful, heinous, hideous sin this evening? It's a sin because it's commanded. It's a sin because of the condition that can open us up to other sins. It's a sin because of the Creator. My, it's a sin against God. And we're robbing Him of His glory. It's a sin when you think of the characters who have prayed. Especially Christ was a man of prayer. It's a sin when you think of the causes. Is there not a cause tonight? Is there no one needs you to pray for them tonight? It's a sin when you think of the confidence. If you're still in 1 Samuel, back in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 8, we read this: "When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place." You know, you look back and you can see how God has answered prayer in the past. What confidence that gives you. And then again in 1 Samuel chapter 12, look at verse 16. Now therefore stand and see this great thing, which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain. And you know, God sent the storm, verse 18. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord. And Samuel prayed, and God sent a storm. And the people began to think about God. Listen, I have heard people pray that God would do something to awaken this nation. Surely God has let something happen. Surely this virus should shake people in their sin and get their eyes open to God. But listen, are you praying for them? Are you praying for them? Look what God has done in the past. Look what God done in answer to Samuel's prayer. God answered the past, he answered in the present. Listen, he will answer in the future. It's a sin not to pray when you think of the confidence. I read about an Irish woman who had a son called Jack, and he had left home and he made it big. He was earning lots of money, but she found herself in the poor house. And the man who used to visit her said, look, does your son not send you anything? Oh, he writes and he remembers my birthday, and I don't want him to be burdened, but does he not send you anything? She said, well, he sends me these little slips of green paper. I've just set them up against the wall, and when he came in, he saw these promissory notes. They were worth thousands of dollars. This woman was living in poverty, where the riches were there for her. Are we in spiritual poverty and we're missing out on the riches of the blessing of God because we're not spending time in prayer? It's a sin not to pray tonight. Remember what Samuel said again in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. I want to challenge you tonight. I wonder, do you need to change? Do you need to change? Notice what Samuel says. Moreover, as for me. We look around many churches and the prayer meeting has disappeared of the church calendar. No longer on the diary. It's become something else, or else it just doesn't seem to be important anymore. And the prayer meeting for many churches is non-existent or irrelevant. But as for Rephaelim Baptist Church, we need prayer. But then let's look into our own lives. And there are many of God's people who don't spend time in prayer. And no doubt you know some tonight, and maybe you are one tonight, but are you willing to be a Samuel tonight and say, as for me? Even though they'd rejected Samuel in this chapter, even though they said they wanted a king and they turned their back on Samuel, Samuel didn't huff and puff. Samuel didn't take it personally. Samuel didn't give up on God because some of God's people let him down. Samuel says, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. Do you need a change tonight? You know, you can start where you are tonight and you can become a man and woman of prayer. F.W. Dixon in his notes said this: have daily regular prayer times. Begin each session of prayer by reading a short portion from the Word of God. Pray through the problems of the day as they arise. Do not be concerned with being formal in the matter of prayer. Cultivate the habit of talking to God. Study all that the Bible has to say on the subject of prayer. Get into the atmosphere of the prayers of Abraham, of Samuel, of Nehemiah, of Daniel, and many of those in the early church. Start a prayer list and tabulate for your own guidance some of the people for whom you're going to pray regularly. And then he said finally, keep on keeping on. Pray without ceasing. I heard about a teacher. She had a Sunday school class. There were about 12 in the Sunday school class, and she challenged the children. She said, I want you to go home and pray that our Sunday school class will grow to 25 in it. And you know, the little ones went home and they prayed, and you know, more children started to come. 20 come, and then there was 25, and eventually it got up to 50. And the teacher says, we have no more room, we have no more chairs. And this little boy was seen, and the tears were tripping him. And she said, what's wrong? He says, I prayed for 50. Wonder if we get faith like that tonight. Will we ask big things from our big God? Ask great things from a great God. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God this evening. We thank you, Lord, that we can pray. And what a wonderful thing it is to be able to take it to the Lord in prayer. What a privilege we have as a family of God to be able to cast all our care upon the one who cares for us. And Lord, help us tonight never to be guilty of the sin of prayerlessness. Lord, there's so many who need prayer. The little church in Refreliant needs prayer. There are members in the church need prayer. Their adherents need prayer. There are people unwell. There are people who are heartbroken, Lord. There are people who are lost. Lord, make us men and women and young people of prayer. And Lord, we would say to you tonight, God forbid that we as a church, that we individually should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray. Help us to be a church where prayer is important. For it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen.